Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
You say ether, and I say either. You say neither.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
Let's call the whole thing off. You like potatoes, and I like potatoes. You like tomatoes, and I like
there's an American classic, Fred Astaire singing George Gershwin. Then there's this.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
The Beach Boys, of course, and Good Vibrations, too. American classics, classic sounds. Now, original Beach Boys leader and songwriter Brian Wilson has pulled those sounds together and then some. He's reimagining the music of George Gershwin, Beach Boys style. This hour on Point, Brian Wilson, on and in the music of George Gershwin. You can join the conversation. Can you picture summertime, someone to watch over me, our love is here to stay, Beach Boys style, Brian Wilson style? Does it sound like a natural? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from the NPR studios in Culver City, California, is Brian Wilson, founder of the Beach Boys and an icon in American rock and pop. His new album is Brian Wilson Reimagines Gershwin. Brian Wilson, great to have you with us. Thank you so much for being there. Welcome to On Point.
Hello, sir. Nice to hear from you.
It's very great to have you there. Also there in the studio is Randy Lewis, longtime pop critic for the Los Angeles Times. He's covered much of Brian Wilson's life, music, and career. Randy, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Good to be here.
I want to go straight to the music, to the merger. Here's from Brian Wilson's new album, Brian Wilson Reimagines Gershwin, I Got Rhythm. And, oh boy, are we off to the races. Who could doubt that that is Brian Wilson's Beach Boys sound meeting George Gershwin, and California Sunshine comes right in there. Wow, that is something. Brian Wilson, tell us about your relationship with the music of George Gershwin. How far back does it go?
Well, when I was 4 years old, my grandmother had me lay by this hi-fi set. Or I don't know if it's called hi-fi then, in 1940.
Yeah, okay.
I guess it would be 1946.
Yep.
And they played Rhapsody in Blue for me. And I remember being blown out. I couldn't think, like, oh, I like this music, because I wasn't taught to, you know, words yet. But I just laid there and enjoyed the album, the Gershwin Rhapsody in Blue.
At that early age, and it still sticks in your mind, I wonder, Randy Lewis, I mean, here we've got George Gershwin, who is kind of the epitome of the, in some sense, the East Coast, certainly the New York sophisticated, romantic sound. You know, it might not be logical that it would go together with what we've come to think of as the Beach Boys, the archetypal West Coast sound, Randy.
Yeah, I think it's, a lot of people might be surprised at this combination. But there are some very interesting connections, because what George Gershwin was trying to do in the 20s, and he wrote Rhapsody in Blue in 1924. He was a pop songwriter who was
amazing. He was so
out,
young.
Yeah.
Well, early mid 20s then.
Yes. And he was a very successful songwriter in the Tin Pan Alley tradition, writing these great songs like Someone to Watch Over Me and That's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
But he was interested in expanding the borders of what was considered pop music at the time. There was a divide between the classical tradition and pop music, and he tried to bring these two things together. And that's a lot of what Brian was doing in the 60s with his albums like Pet Sounds and then on to Smile, which didn't get completed till much later. But he was expanding the boundaries sonically, musically, melodically, harmonically. And that's why this makes a lot of sense.
Brian Wilson, when you got started, also at a very early age with the Beach Boys, you may have been inspired by Rhapsody in Blue when you were a child, but it was more like the Four Freshmen and that era that you were being schooled by when you started writing Beach Boys songs, wasn't
it? Well, in 1959, actually, my mother bought me an album called Voices in Love by the Four Freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
And I played it, and it blew me out. I had never heard harmony like that. My whole entire harmony education came from the Four Freshmen. It was the most unbelievable point. I could not believe the sounds I was hearing.
So here you are, you're 68 now. A couple of years have passed since way back there in the early day. What brought you back at this time, at this age, to George Gershwin, Brian?
Well, when I was 28 years old, a friend of mine named Tannen Almer, who wrote Along Comes Mary by the Association,
mm-hmm.
he played Rhapsody in Blue for me by Leonard Bernstein. And I said, hey, I want to learn that centerpiece where it goes, da, 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 that part.
Mm.
So it took me 2 weeks to learn it, but I learned it.
How did you learn something like that in those days? I mean, you couldn't just hit
I would play four bars on the set. Go to the piano, learn the four bar, back and forth for about 2 weeks, and I finally got it learned.
So this would be a record player. You'd be lifting the needle and setting it down again, or did you have a tape machine already?
No, there was a needle on the record.
Unbelievable. Up and down, and finally you learn that. Let's listen to a little more. I mean, it's incredible. Here's They Can't Take That Away From Me. This is from Brian Wilson's new album, Brian Wilson Reimagines Gershwin. And again, I mean, talk about California sunshine coming into George Gershwin's world. You'll hear it. You'll smile whether you like it or not. Here you go.
The way you hold your knife.
The way you hold your knife.
The way we dance to free.
Brian Wilson, that is an awful lot of fun. You didn't take that straight kind of Beach Boys approach with all of these songs, but how did you decide to do it with They Can't Take That Away From Me?
Well, we wanted to treat each one separately because each one is a whole world of its own. You know, mm-hmm. like you got Porgy, I Love You Porgy, and all those songs.
Mm-hmm.
And we took each one at a time and treated it properly till it was finished.
You've got blues sound in some of these. You've got some bossa nova in here. And right there, just that bright California sunshine Beach Boys sound behind George Gershwin. And They Can't Take That Away From Me. Our listeners are paying close attention. Let's bring them in right here. Maureen in New Haven, Connecticut. Maureen, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Maestro Brian Wilson, it is an honor and a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you. I absolutely
adore your music, and I grew up with your music and with Gershwin music also. And this CD is absolutely a marvelous masterpiece, the same way as all your other music is. I have a question about touring. George Gershwin was on the stage in Connecticut. He came to several different theaters, the Schubert, the Bushnell, and several other places. Will you be coming to New Haven, Connecticut, and Hartford, Connecticut, and other places in the United States to tour this marvelous music, and also to be able to make you happy to follow literally in Gershwin's footsteps and be on the same stages that he has been?
What do you
say,
Brian?
We're not sure where we're going yet. It's just we might go to. We think there's talk about going to Australia in November, but I'm not sure touring the actual album. I'm not sure when.
Do you still enjoy touring, Brian Wilson?
Yeah, I do. I think it's fun to perform music. It's a good way to get some off your chest, you know.
Be out there. Be singing it. I mean, Maureen's right, Randy Lewis. This is a legendary career right here in Brian Wilson's case as well. I mean, it's interesting. What, you know, what puts a certain sound, certain musicians into that realm of American classic? George Gershwin almost defines it. Brian Wilson almost defines it.
Well, both do for their eras. And I think it's what you look for is somebody who has taken a variety of things that have come before them, fuse them together through their own musical imagination and come up with something completely fresh and original, you know, in addition to the incredible influence that the Four Freshmen had on the approach that Brian took to vocal harmony. He was a big fan of Chuck Berry and that rock and roll sound. And, you know, they both figure prominently in the Beach Boys sound. Similar to the way that George Gershwin was listening to other songwriters who were working in his day, Irving Berlin and those type of people, and brought in the classical influence that he'd been trained with and tried to fuse those things together. So you take what's gone before and you come up with something new.
Randy Lewis and Brian Wilson at NPR West in California, please stand by. Here, it ain't necessarily so, a kind of bluesy sound from Brian Wilson, reimagines Gershwin. Brian Wilson is with us, the legendary Beach Boys leader and songwriter. You can join us. What do you think of this marriage? The Beach Boys, Brian Wilson and George Gershwin, are these two American classics reimagined together. Is it a natural? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Here's Brian Wilson and George Gershwin. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are talking this hour with legendary Beach Boys leader and songwriter Brian Wilson about his big new take on the music of American classic George Gershwin. His album is Brian Wilson Reimagines George Gershwin. He joins us today from NPR's West Studios in California, as does Randy Lewis, pop music critic for the Los Angeles Times. You can join us. What do you think of this marriage? Beach Boys, Brian Wilson, and George Gershwin. Does Mr. East Coast, New York City Gershwin work with Mr. West Coast, California, Brian Wilson? Does the land of big waves meet the music of the big city here? And how about the Beach Boys' harmony on Rhapsody in Blue? We're going to hear it right here in full. Rhapsody in Blue from Brian Wilson Reimagines Gershwin. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Brian Wilson, what is the Beach Boys harmony that's at work there in that song? What makes this harmony sound like the Beach Boys? We know it does. Why?
Well, first of all, I did all the parts. The Beach Boys are not on that part.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the five harmony parts all by myself. That's why it sounded that way, because it was the Beach Boys were not on that record.
Well, I guess you know what that sound is, though. How did you, in the beginning, how do you today create it? What makes that harmony distinctive so that we recognize it?
Well, like Don't Worry Baby, the introduction has, the voices start to blend, then it goes up a notch, and there's different registers of sound that you create, you know.
Back in the day, you were doing it with your brothers Carl and Dennis, Mike Love Cousin. Some people have said it was in part because you were closely related that you could have this really tight harmony. What do you think of it?
Well, we were brothers. Our voices blended together very well because we were from the same family. So it worked out real well that way.
Randy Lewis, when you hear that Brian Wilson's Beach Boys-style harmony with Rhapsody in Blue, what's going through your mind?
I just love the interplay of the voices. It's such a beautiful sound, and it connects with stuff that Brian has done previously. There was the song "Our Prayer," which was an a cappella vocal piece that was part of the Smile record that he did. That was very much, again, just this beautiful choral piece, and you hear those parts. That only Brian Wilson would come up with.
And what about, I mean, Rhapsody in Blue has this sort of distinctively American grandeur about it. Do you hear it amplified in this kind of harmony or something else? We've all heard it so, you know, arranged and presented so many different ways.
Well, I think that's one of the things that's interesting to me about this record is that you have heard so many people over the years record Gershwin music. These are just classics, part of the Great American Songbook, that it's a real challenge to bring something different to it. And by Brian, again, it's not just Brian vocally interpreting George Gershwin's music. He's processing it, filtering it through his imagination and his creative impulse. And that's why you get this very distinctive personal stamp on it. And it's two distinctive American voices being brought together.
Brian Wilson, you're, 68 now. How did you decide at this point in your life to come back to George Gershwin?
Well, the Disney people came to us, and my wife and the Disney people had a concept of Wilson sings Gershwin. And I said, sure, I'll do it. Really? I said, absolutely, I'd be honored. So that was the conception of it, of the project. And then, of course, and then we had to start learning the songs and stuff like that.
You know,
I can jump in.
Yes, please, Randy.
As it was told to me when I was talking to people about how this originated, that Brian got a two-album deal with the Disney label, and mm-hmm. they had asked him, one thing that they wanted him to do is do an album of Disney music, which he's going to be doing later. And they said, you know, what else would you like to do? And kind of, as I understand it, the first thing that came up was Gershwin. Let's do Gershwin.
Brian Wilson, do you think of George Gershwin as kind of representing New York City, that sort of urban East Coast? Do you think of yourself as representing West Coast America, almost defining it in a way?
Well, I agree with you. I think Gershwin captured that kind of thing, although it was universal. I don't know just about New York City, but it was universally accepted that he was probably the greatest music originator in the history of music.
Everybody loved it. Of course, so many people have sung it and used it. Woody Allen in Manhattan made it really famous as the explicit backdrop to that New York City scene. But now we're looking at it from a California point of view with Brian Wilson. Just to take us back, to remember and maybe look at a kind of a pairing of sounds here. Here's straight Beach Boys, Surfer Girl. That was then part of the 1960s rush, huge rush of Beach Boys hits. Now, it's a couple of years later, a couple of decades and more, Brian Wilson here on Brian Wilson Reimagines George Gershwin with his treatment now of I Got a Crush on You.
I've got a crush on you, sweetie pie, all the day and night time, hear me sigh. I never had the least notion that I could fall with so much emotion.
There's the Brian Wilson uptake on George Gershwin today. And what a great sound. Joanne in Marblehead, Massachusetts. Joanne, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for
Hi, Joanne.
I thought that the all the cuts I've heard are great. But what I wanted to tell you was I graduated from Salem Classical and High School in Salem, Massachusetts in 1954. And I sang I Got Rhythm in our senior review. And even though I sang it in the traditional manner, I'm sure today I would have sung it exactly as he did. So I got very excited about that.
It's great, Joanne. Big memories of Brian Wilson's music. Does it take you back? And what do you think of hearing it together, sort of hearing it in the Gershwin vein?
I think it's great. And the second cut you played, The Way You Wear Your Hat, I forgot the name of it now. I can imagine my husband and I doing a slow jitterbug, which now the kids call swing, to it. I mean, it was beautiful rhythm. So I think it's a good album, and I'm inclined to purchase it.
Joanne, thank you. Brian Wilson, can you see a slow jitterbug going on to that music?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Sounds like it might work. Alex in Avon, Connecticut. Alex, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. And this is such an honor to be talking with Brian Wilson. And Brian, thank you for making America feel young at whatever age we're at here. I did not know anything about this creativity you had with Gershwin, and this is just amazing. What an amazing sound. I was just curious what you thought when the Beatles were, I'm assuming the Beatles were spoofing you with Back in the USSR, so I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks so much.
Alex, thanks. Brian, the Beatles spoofing you with Back in the USSR?
Oh, that, ooh, the false
album. The White Album?
Yeah. I think they were just doing us a little favor, you know.
Well, I look at that as a salute,
absolutely.
An honor to, you know, the influence that the Beach Boys did have on the Beatles. And it was big. There's been a lot of discussion over the years that, the Beatles were paying very much attention to what the Beach Boys were doing. And the Beach Boys were paying attention to the Beatles. And there's a little bit of, you know, transatlantic competition going on, and that's what happened. Rubber Soul came out. Brian liked that. Said we got to, you know, come up with something as good as that, and that came into Pet Sounds. They heard Pet Sounds, and they came back with Sergeant Pepper. So it was quite a mutual admiration society.
They've been very explicit in saying that Sergeant Pepper, the album, was inspired in part by Pet Sounds. Brian Wilson, what do you think about this competition, even transatlantic competition, maybe even across decades of musicians? Did you feel it then? Do you still feel it now?
Well, as soon as I heard Rubber Soul, my juices start flowing, my musical juices. I went to the piano and wrote God Only Knows in 45 minutes with my friend Tony Asher. And but we were so blown away. I was a bit jealous of them, you know, when they first came to America. But we got going, too, you know, with our music.
You came back to work on Smile, and, of course, it didn't work out at the time, but people saw it as you're kind of stepping up to respond. And when it didn't work out, you know, sent you into some tough times. How do you look back on that now? Were you too invested in that competition, Brian?
Well, but the problem is we were taking drugs, and so were the Beatles, you know. And the drugs actually did enhance the creativity. It gave us a little jolt, you know. It puts you more up on your toes and gets you kind of, you know, arranging and writing and stuff like that.
And off you went, but it didn't all work out perfectly then. But you came back and got Smile out, and now here you are with Gershwin. Ted in Burlington, Vermont, you're on with Brian Wilson. Hello, Ted, are you there? We may have lost him. Let's go to Nashville, Tennessee, and Tim, you're on the air with Brian.
Hey, Tom. This is Tim Reynolds in Nashville. I called you back a couple of years ago when you did the Sacred Heart program because my dad was interviewed in that. Mm-hmm. Well, his brother was Dick Reynolds, who arranged the Four Freshmen album that Brian's mother bought for him.
The first Four Freshmen album? Are you kidding me? Wow. Okay.
Dick was an arranger out in California and worked for the Freshmen for a number of years and did a bunch of albums for them. One thing occurred to me, I remembered while I was on hold.
Yeah.
Not only were the Beach Boys related with brothers, the original four freshmen, there were two brothers and I think a cousin. I think Bob Flanagan was a cousin of the two Barber brothers.
Tim, let me put those again to Brian Wilson, because as he says, always says, it was such a big influence on him. And I don't know if you can break it out, Brian, how the four freshmen influenced your music, how maybe in some deep way George Gershwin influenced your music.
Well, George Gershwin influenced our music, but we didn't actually copy his style. Because I don't think there's a way you can't say that he had a style. What would you say, Randy?
Well, you were doing your own thing. That was in the background. That was a fundamental part of your musical education, and you couldn't help but draw on that. But you were doing something new. You were combining rock and roll with this great vocal tradition with the R&B doo-wop sound.
What it did was the four freshmen gave me a way to put sweet harmonies against a rock and roll track, and thus you have got I Get Around.
When you put some pretty sweet harmony against Rhapsody in Blue there, and it sounds pretty great.
Thank you.
But that's not the only sound on here. Of course, Gershwin had his great kind of folk musical, Porgy and Bess. It had mixed success and reception at the time. Of course, since it's come to be one of the most loved pieces of American music. For a totally different sound, here's Brian Wilson and his treatment from Brian Wilson, Reimagines Gershwin, of I Loves You, Porgy.
I loves you, Porgy, don't let him take me. Don't let him handle me and drive me mad. If you can keep me, I wanna stay with you forever, and I'll be glad. I love you, Porgy.
Brian Wilson, I have to say, that was my personal favorite on this album. I mean, I love the Rhapsody in Blue. A lot of the tracks were great, but I love the way you poured yourself into this one.
Yeah, I that was my favorite too, actually. Randy, how would you describe that vocal?
It's just a spectacular melody, and that's why any singer would be attracted to it. And I think it's great that Brian took it on. This is a song that Bess sings in the musical, and
of course,
Brian, as a man, sings it, and there's no problem because it's just such a killer melody.
What was the frame of mind you put yourself in to sing Bess's song here, Brian?
Well, I had to assume the role of a woman. The role of a girl that was singing to another guy. And the Disney people said, Brian, are you sure you want to do this? Sing this song. And I said, yeah, no problem. And he said, okay, no problem then. You know.
And we hear it, and you are so in it. It's just great. Brian Wilson is with us. His new album is Brian Wilson Reimagines Gershwin. Randy Lewis with him there in the NPR studios in Culver City, California, pop music critic for the Los Angeles Times. Listeners, you can join us as well. We're going to go out of this segment with Love Is Here to Stay, Brian Wilson style. What's your question for Brian Wilson, the man who stands in the pop music pantheon with what? Lennon, McCartney, Janis, and Jimmy Springsteen, and Sting. What makes great American music great? What makes it American? 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
It's very clear our love is here to stay. Not for a year, but ever and a day. The radio and the telephone and the movies that we know may just be passing fancies, and in time may go. But oh my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're going along.
Gibraltar may crumble, they're only made of clay, but our love is here to stay.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA, then everybody'd be serving like California.
I'm Tom Asprey. This is On Point. Surfing USA with the original Beach Boys right there. Brian Wilson was at the heart of that group. Now, the legendary Beach Boys leader and songwriter is out with a big new take on the music of American classic George Gershwin. We've been hearing a lot of it this hour, and we will hear more. Brian Wilson joins us from NPR West Studios in Culver City, California. Randy Lewis is there, also pop music critic for the Los Angeles Times. The new album is Brian Wilson Reimagines Gershwin. What do you think of this marriage, the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson and George Wilson? What would Gershwin say, and what makes great American music American? We're at 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. We heard Fred Astaire at the top of this show singing George Gershwin. I want to go way back just to give a sense of the culture, the milieu that Gershwin came out of. Here's Astaire talking in 1961 with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, reflecting back on his friend George Gershwin. He's saying he was continually inspired by the New York City theater world around him in the 1920s and 30s.
He was tremendously interested in the theater business and the work and new talent that was coming up. He used to talk about it. He said, yeah, all these people can do so many things. Isn't it marvelous? He said, I saw a couple of acts or something at a nightclub, and he asked my sister and me to go with him to see them. He said, I want you to see these people. They just come up out of the ground or something. All of a sudden, their great talent is right there.
The New York City theater world all around George Gershwin, inspiring in his music, infusing it. Brian Wilson, well, out of a whole different picture, West Coast, California. And it made me wonder, Brian, how much, you know, your music has come to define a lot of the way our culture thinks about the West Coast, the kind of soundtrack of it. Did you know that as you were coming up? Did you think, I'm writing West Coast California music? It was your subject, but was it deeper than that?
You know what? Actually, as a young kid, I didn't really say that. I didn't really say that to myself. But later on, say by 1970, then I started to realize what kind of music I was making.
As you got into this album and thinking so deeply on the music of Gershwin, were you thinking about him, the man? I mean, if he were alive today, you know, he wasn't so lucky. He died at 38 of a brain tumor. But if he'd been around, would you have talked to him about this music, or is it better just to listen to the music and do your own thing?
I would have said, George, what do you think of my rendition of your music? And I think he'd probably say, Brian, I think it's fantastic. I love it. I think you'd say that.
That's terrific. Terry in Norwich, Vermont, you're on with Brian Wilson.
30 seconds into I Got Rhythm, I thought, wow, what an outstanding project. And then it occurred to me, as a lifelong Beach Boys fan, I wonder what would happen if Brian got Harry Connick Jr. or somebody to do Beach Boy, Help Me Ron, to Gershwin style.
Could you turn it around? How about it, Brian?
Well, I think that would be an interesting endeavor.
I don't know if you could actually turn it around, Gershwin style. I don't know if it works both ways. But, Terry, I love the thought. Let's go to Beth in Charleston, South Carolina. Beth, you're on with Brian Wilson.
Yes, hi there, Mr. Wilson.
Hello.
I grew up, of course, in Charleston with our beaches, and your California beach music always was great on our beaches here, too. But my question was about the multi-generational thing that's going on here, with Gershwin, of course, being from perhaps my parents' generation. And now you're doing this project for the Disney folks. If you're hoping to perhaps get some of the young people today interested in the Beach Boys, like I grew up with, as well as with Mr. Gershwin's music. Thank you very much. It's a great idea.
Thank you, Beth. Brian?
Thank you.
You're trying to bring up a new generation on some older music here?
Well, this is Randy Lewis here. Mm-hmm. I think that one of Brian's goals in this, as he expressed it to me, was to bring the music of Gershwin to a new audience that a lot of people today may not be familiar with it. And this is his way of trying to introduce it and pass along this music that's meant so much to him.
How do you think about the music that you hear today, Brian Wilson? Do you enjoy it? Do you like contemporary
music? Well, you know,
I'm all
hung up on 60s and 70s music. That's a radio station I listen to in L.A. called K-Earth 101.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to listen to some of the rap stuff and some of the, you know, the new stuff, but I couldn't get my head into it. So I just listen to oldies but goodies now.
I heard a real 50s sound in some of what you have on this album. Am I imagining things there?
I don't know, Randy. I don't know if it's a 50s sound or a 40s or I don't know. What kind of?
Well, there are some things. I think, you know, I've Got a Crush on You as a good example that had kind of the 50s R&B mm-hmm. feel to it. Mm-hmm. And it was a nice pairing with Surfer Girl, which was the first song that Brian wrote, right?
Right.
Yeah, and you heard that in Brian's very first song. It was coming on the heels of what had come out in the 1950s. But yet, even in that very first Beach Boys song, Surfer Girl, you heard a distinctive, completely unique sound and style.
Harry in Bedford, Massachusetts. Harry, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Brian, you're my musical hero. I'm a lifelong Beach Boys fan. And I heard you in another interview once say that sometimes you listen to the old Beach Boys records and lament a falsetto part that's a little flat or sharp, and I'm wondering these days how many takes you do of your vocal parts and when you know that you're done with it.
Well, first of all, we would do some recording, then we'll go in and we'll listen to it maybe three or four times and try to see if it's on pitch or, you know, if it's presented right, or if the vocal has enough emotion to it, you know. Then we go back, I go back out to the microphone and try it again until we get it right.
On this one, I also talked to Paul Von Mertens, who is a member of the Brian Wilson Band, and it conducted the orchestra and did a lot of the arranging here. And he said he saw Brian working harder on this than anything he's seen him do, and that he said there were days that when Paul was exhausted that Brian was going, let's do one more, let's get it better, and saying that he put in days that would be a challenge for a man half his age.
Brian Wilson, at this point in your life, is it easier or more fun to sing or talk?
Both. Actually, I like talking. To sing is okay, but talking is easier than singing.
I've seen video of you working on this album. I mean, you're really putting in the effort there. It may sound effortless, but it doesn't look effortless.
No, it doesn't. No, you're absolutely right.
Talk about a classic. Let's listen here to Gershwin's Summertime. This from Brian Wilson, reimagines Gershwin. Summertime, brought back, this time, by Brian Wilson. Jerry in Cookeville, Tennessee, you're on the air with Brian Wilson.
Hi, Tom, Randy, and especially you, Brian. A friend of mine, his older brother went to high school with you guys many years ago at Redondo Beach. Charles Chick Williams, they used to call him. And I met you once at Tony's on the Pier, at the fish market years ago. But George Gershwin, being one music icon to another, would be proud in saying that he wouldn't believe that it could be done, but you've actually made it better. When I hear your music, it takes me back to, you know, certain places and, you know, girls and times. And just want to thank you, Brian. I mean, your music to me is always one of the very top, and it'll always remain that way to me.
Hey, thank you so much. You know, it's good to make music, and that's the very reason I do make music, is for guys like you who appreciate it.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for calling. Randy, you were saying earlier that that's great. Well, that one of the links between these two musicians is their ambition. Of course, Gershwin, you know, always pushing, and but that pop feel, but at the same time, trying to push it on up. How do you look at Brian Wilson in those terms, Randy?
you just see the level of accomplishment in what he did. And one of the things that I've always appreciated as a musician myself is the all the different elements, the colors, the different instruments that he brought in to the pop music vocabulary. You know, everybody was all about, you know, electric guitars, bass and drums, maybe the occasional sax and piano in their songs. Brian brought in the vibraphone, bass harmonica, saxophones, trombones, bells, found sounds, all sorts of things, you know, railroad train whistles. There was just no limit to what he wanted to incorporate into his sound. And once he did that, a lot of the rest of the world started to do it along with him.
Brian, when George Gershwin came out with Porgy and Bess, he met some resistance to his ambition there. You famously met some resistance with your Smile album back in the 60s. I mean, do you sympathize with a musician in Gershwin's case? I mean, he got it out there. You did too. It took a while. But did you feel yourself as a pop musician coming up against some kind of barrier at a certain point in your career?
No, more of a challenge. After I heard the Beatles and Chuck Berry and Phil Spector, I was very, very challenged to make good music. Very challenged.
But there were people also. There was some resistance at his record company and some within the band that people wanted him to kind of stick with that that early, you know, simple songs about cars and girls and the beach. Let's just, you know, don't mess with the formula. And Brian wasn't interested in the formula. He wanted to push it and do new things, which is what the creative person always wants to do. And when that happened while Smile was going on, that put a big roadblock in the way. And that's what made it sit on the shelf for 37 years.
Mm. Let's go to Dana in Yarmouth Port, Massachusetts. Dana, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Mr. Wilson. And hi, Mr. Lewis. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, if I may call you Brian. I really, you know, I was really inspired by Good Vibrations. It was way ahead of its time, but please, I must ask you, never lose your California surf roots. I love Surfing Safari, Surfing USA, and Surf City, which I know you wrote for Jan and Dean, and I do not apologize for loving that music. You are a great creative force, and I thank you.
Thank you, Dana.
Thank you so much.
Do you still love it too, Brian Wilson, or do you feel like you've moved on or not?
Well, like I said, I kind of like hang out with 60s and 70s music, you know.
And he does play it in concert, and I've seen him a number of times in recent years. And I got to say that the band that he's got behind him does this stuff absolutely right. With all the pieces in the right places and the spirit of it. And you've got, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 voices sometimes going at a time. It's really a wonder to behold.
And people still coming to hear that. Gail in Winchester, Massachusetts. Gail, you're on the air.
Hi, Brian. I saw you at Cape Cod Melody Tent just a couple of weeks ago in Hyannis. Great concert. And I was so surprised just how clear your voice still is. And how you connected with the audience. You know, little thumbs up and making eye contact and tipping your head.
Right, right.
A great concert.
Was it Beach Boys stuff? Was it Gershwin? Did you hear any of this there, Gail?
No, it was all Beach Boys, and it was great. And I'm looking forward to now to purchasing a CD. I love the program, and thank you. And keep singing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gail. Thanks very much. Let's hear more of Brian Wilson on George Gershwin. Here's It's Wonderful.
It's wonderful, it's marvelous that you should care for me. It's awful nice, it's paradise. What I love to see, you've made my life so glamorous. You can't blame me for feeling amorous.
Brian Wilson with "It's Wonderful" from George Gershwin, with a little bossa nova there sound. Brian Wilson, how did you decide to go that way?
Well, the bossa nova, not just that, but the actual rhythm is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then it changes to 1, 2, 3, 4. It goes from 6-4 to 4-4. That's what makes the bossa nova beat so acceptable.
And did you hear that right away as a musician behind Gershwin's version of this song, or did you just hear that it could slide into that mold?
I heard it could slide into it because I heard Gershwin's version, and that's how I learned it, you know.
Well, that's pretty terrific. So do you enjoy singing this, or if you're going to sing in the shower, do you sing, Surfer Girl?
Surfer Girl, no, but, you know, Surfer Girl is the first song I ever wrote, so that's kind of special to me.
What about your own songwriting now? You're going to do some more Disney children's songs. Are you still writing your own pieces?
I haven't written for a while. No, I've had a dry spell.
Do you think?
Although you might point out here, one of the fascinating things about this project is that two of the songs on this were started by George Gershwin before he died, but he didn't finish them. And Brian got hold of those through the Gershwin estate and finish those. So there are actually two songs on here that are Gershwin, Wilson, Bennett compositions. That's Scott Bennett of the Brian Wilson Band, who wrote the lyrics that Ira Gershwin never got to do.
There you go. Picked up out of the fragments from what George Gershwin left behind on top of the great classics that he left behind. What a lot of fun to hear this music today and to talk with both of you. It's just been great. Randy Lewis, pop music critic for the Los Angeles Times. It's been great of you to join us today, Randy. I'm grateful. Thanks for being there.
Oh, thanks. My
pleasure. Thank you. I enjoyed it very much.
Brian Wilson, thank you so much. The new album is Brian Wilson Reimagines Gershwin. Good luck, Brian Wilson.
Thank you.
We'll go out with Someone to Watch Over Me. Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Song.